Welcome to the James River Church Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from Pastor John Lindell. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
Tonight, I want to talk to you on the theme, the angel of the Lord. And I want to take just a few moments to touch on that because honestly, in the Sunday morning's message, we didn't have time to really address that. Moses sees the angel of the Lord appear to him in the burning of the bush, or the burning bush, and we didn't really take time to talk much about that, just mentioned it in passing. Let me just say this up front about this message. It's not an apology in any way, but it's certainly to frame your reference for what we're going to do. This would be essentially theology. It's good for us. Theology is the study of God. It's good for us to every now and then just dig deep and think deeply about the Lord. And that has everything to do with our prayer life, everything to do with our walk with God. The more we know about God, the more we understand who He is and how He works and what He does, the more it strengthens our faith and our service to Him. So the next few moments, we're going to look at a lot of scripture. We're going to be talking about the angel of the Lord or the angel of Yahweh. Honestly, I was thinking about the fact that I wanted to do a message similar to this back when, it seems now like it was 20 years ago, but it was last fall when we were doing the series on angels and we were talking about angels. The angel of the Lord would have been certainly a message that would have fit in that. We just simply ran out of time in terms of the calendar. And so in the grace of the Lord, here we are in the study on Moses, and we're going to talk about something that I think is a very, very important subject for you and I to understand and to get a hold of. Now, when we're talking about the angel of the Lord, we could also say the angel, as I said, of Yahweh. And I want to just bring up a little thing that will help you understand when you're reading your Bible, when you see Lord, capital L-O-R-D, lowercase O-R-D, that's the word in the Hebrew, Adonai. That word means sovereign or king. He is the Lord. When you see Lord, L-O-R-D, all caps, that's the word Yahweh. In the Hebrew, there are no vowels, so it's just consonants. So it would look like this, Y-H-W-H. Theologians call that, it's four letters, tetragrammaton. It is the name above every other name. It is God's name. This is the name when Moses says, who do I tell the Israelites? We're going to look at that this coming Sunday. Who do I tell them is sending me? What shall I tell them your name is? God says, tell them I am who I am. That's what this, I am the eternal, everlasting I am. He lives in one eternal now. He was at the beginning and at the end simultaneously. He exists outside of time. Not only that, bound up in this is the idea, I am the I am who keeps my promises. And then you go to the Gospels and you see Jesus saying, I am the bread of life, I am the good shepherd, all of the seven I ams in John, claiming the Jews understood at that time that Jesus was claiming to be this person. He was claiming to be Yahweh. We also, Jehovah is another way of saying Yahweh. That's the German derivative. So when you hear Jehovah, like Jehovah Jireh, it could be Yahweh Yireh. It's the same name. Jehovah's just the German derivative. So when we're talking about the angel of the Lord, we're talking about the angel of Yahweh. Now, if that is a backdrop, let's go to Exodus chapter 3 and verse 2. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him, that's Moses, in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. The term angel of the Lord, this specific term, it appears 59 times in Scripture in the Old Testament, or the angel of God, which is synonymous, appears an additional 9 times. So this is a person, an angel that is not an angel. It is really God. As I said on Sunday, it is the Lord Jesus Christ. We would say it is Jesus in his pre-incarnate glory. When we say pre-incarnate, what are we saying? Again, this is all theology to help you understand some terms. The incarnation is when God became a man. He was incarnated. He was put in human flesh. Pre-incarnate means before he became a man, this is how he revealed himself to men. As the angel of the Lord. And I would say that this is, in the Old Testament, Jesus. Now, for the sake of fairness, let me just say, there are theologians who would say, absolutely it's not, but none of their arguments, honestly, are very compelling. What I'm going to do is I'm going to take you through Scripture and show you why I would say this is Jesus. Let's look at Exodus chapter 23, because we're going to learn a little bit about the angel of the Lord here. God is talking to Moses, and God says, I'm sending an angel ahead of you to guard you along the way and to bring you to the place I have prepared. So Moses, and you're going to read a little later when we get into Exodus chapter 32, Moses up on the mountain and the people, the nation of Israel, they set up a golden calf, they worship the golden calf, Moses comes down, he smashes the Ten Commandments, and God is going to judge the people, and God says, listen, I'm not going to go before you anymore, and Moses says, well, if you're not going, I don't want to go, and God says, I'll send my angel before you. But here again, earlier, he is saying, I'm going to send an angel ahead of you to guard you along the way, to bring you to the place I prepared. Pay attention to him and listen to what he says. Do not rebel against him. He will not forgive your rebellion. This angel is not a typical angel. This angel has the power to forgive. Who alone can forgive sin? No one but God. And notice it says, do not rebel against him. He will not forgive your rebellion since my name is in him. Well, this is very significant. The name of God is in him. We'll talk about that in a moment. Let's read on here. My angel will go ahead of you and bring you into the land of the Amorites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, the Hivites, and Jebusites, and I will wipe them out. Now, if you were with us back when we were looking at angels, you saw that one of the things that we understood is that when the children of Israel went in and took the promised land under Joshua, and indeed under Moses before Joshua, as they were attacking these nations, there were nations that had demonic offspring called the Nephilim. Remember? If you don't remember, then no worries, you can go back and listen to the message, or if you weren't here. The Nephilim were the result of demonic beings cohabitating with women. It's mentioned in Genesis chapter 6, and I walked you through, it's throughout the Old Testament, so it's not just in one passage, and it's reaffirmed in New Testament teaching, which tells us they can't go in and displace these seven nations who are in the promised land unless they have the angel of the Lord going before them. This is not just a physical battle of army versus army. This is a spiritual battle that requires spiritual power that only the angel of the Lord can provide. And the basis for this angel's authority is the name of God is in him. You say, what does that mean? It means God's presence, God's essence is in him. Furthermore, the angel or the nation of Israel can only displace these nations if this angel goes before them. Here's what's interesting. One of the last of the Nephilim in the Old Testament is a giant who's very familiar to us. What's his name? Goliath. When David is going to attack Goliath, look what David says. David said to the Philistine, that's Goliath, you come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord Almighty. I come to you in the name of Yahweh. Why? Because as we're going to see in a moment, there's power in that name. So this angel is, as we're back to in Exodus, this angel, the name of God is in him. That he goes before the people. He leads the people into the promised land. What I want you to notice is things that are told us about this angel are also said synonymously. The same things are said about God. For example, if you go to Deuteronomy chapter 4, you were shown these things. So this is Moses now at the end of his life. He's recounting for the nation of Israel. Here's what they had seen, what they'd experienced. Moses says, "You were shown these things that you might know that the Lord is God. Besides him, there's no other. From heaven, he made you hear his voice to discipline you. On earth, he showed you his great fire, and you heard his words from out of the fire. Because he loved you, your forefathers, and chose their descendants after them, he brought you out of Egypt by his presence and his great strength." Well, earlier we just read the angel was going to do that. Here it says it's God. So is it the angel of the Lord or is it God? They are the same. "To drive out before you nations greater and stronger than you, and to bring you into their land, and to give it to you as an inheritance as it is today." If you go to Joshua chapter 24, "It was the Lord your God himself who brought us, our fathers, out of Egypt from that land of slavery and performed great signs before our eyes. He protected us on our entire journey and among all the nations through which we traveled. And the Lord drove out before us all the nations." And then you have Judges chapter 2 and verse 1. "The angel of the Lord went up from Gilgal to Bochim, and he said, I brought you up out of Egypt and led you into the land that I swore to give to your forefathers." What it's saying is the same thing the angel of the Lord did, God's saying he did. Why? Because the angel of the Lord is God. And there's certainly room for the angel of the Lord appears and God the Father appears. The angel of the Lord is Jesus and there is God the Father. And they are both at different times speaking to the nation of Israel. And so you have to look at context and understand. So all of God doing all that God does, the Holy Spirit is on Moses, leading Moses, directing Moses. The Spirit that's on him is put on the 70 elders. You've got the angel of the Lord. That's Jesus, and he is operative, and they're actually seeing a physical representation of God, which is Jesus on the mountain. We'll look at that as we make our way through our series on Moses. And then you have God the Father speaking to them the Ten Commandments. He speaks from the mountain. They hear his voice. So all of God doing all that he does. And he is speaking to the people. The angel of the Lord then is God, and Jesus is the angel of the Lord. Now, you say, why do you make a big deal out of this? I just think it's important for us to remember that Jesus didn't just show up in the New Testament. He was very active in the Old Testament, and the Jesus in the New Testament is the same one who is the angel of the Lord in the Old Testament, and he is like Jesus. I mean, what is it that Hebrews says? Hebrews 13 and verse 8 says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the same. Now, as you watch the angel of the Lord, you get a sense, and there are times where he seems very much like the Jesus of the New Testament. For example, the first time you see the angel of the Lord in the Old Testament, it's in Genesis 16, and Hagar was a servant in Abram and Sarai's household. And Sarai couldn't have children, so she said, which was a common custom of the day, take my servant and have relations with her, and that way you'll produce a son, and that will be our son. So Hagar was going to be a surrogate mother, if you will. Hagar, however, was a bit of a rebel in many respects. She rebels against Sarai. She flees, and the angel of the Lord found Hagar near a spring in the desert. It was in the spring that is beside the road to Shur. And he, that's the angel of the Lord, said, Hagar, servant of Sarai, where have you come from and where are you going? I'm running away from my mistress Sarai, she answered. Then the angel of the Lord told her, go back to your mistress and submit to her. Sounds a lot like Jesus, right? And the angel added, I will increase your descendants that they will be too numerous to count. And the angel of the Lord also said to her, you are now a child and you'll have a son and you shall name him Ishmael. And she gave this name to the Lord who spoke to her. What does she understand? She understands she's not just seeing a spiritual being, an angelic being. She understands she's speaking to God. She gave this name to the Lord. She gave this name to God. She gave this name to Yahweh. You are the God who sees me. For she said, I have now seen the one who sees me. Cool. What's this tell us about the angel of the Lord? That he sees us. He sees where we're at. Then we see the angel of the Lord again in Genesis 22. In Genesis 22, what you have is you have God coming to Abraham and saying, I know you really love Isaac, but what I want you to do is I want you to take Isaac, I want you to go to the mountains of Moriah, and I'll show you where in the mountains of Moriah I want you to offer him as a sacrifice to me. It's hard for us to understand why God would ask that and all that's involved there. What's important for us to know tonight is Abraham says, God, you're asking it, I'm going to do it. So he takes off. The next day he gets up, they make a 3-day journey, he and Isaac and their servants. He sees the mountain in the distance. You have to imagine a lump forms in his throat. As he realizes in a very short amount of time, Isaac will be placed on the altar and he'll be sacrificing his son he loves. But we also understand from the writer of Hebrews that Abraham figured that God could raise Isaac from the dead. He understood the promises that God had made to him, but Abraham was committed to being obedient to God. When he gets up there on the mountain, he's getting ready to bring the knife down onto Isaac. And in fact, we know he expected Isaac to be resurrected because he said to his servants, Isaac and I are going to go and worship on the mountain and we will return to you. So we know he's got this sense of resurrection. He's got this sense that he is not going to lose Isaac. Somehow God is going to come through. Somehow God is going to provide. He doesn't know how. He doesn't understand it. He just understands the issue for him is obedience, and that in his obedience, even when he doesn't understand, God will provide. That's a word for everybody in this room. That's a word for me. It's a word for Debbie. It's a word for you. We may not understand what God is doing in a moment. We may not understand why God is leading us in certain ways, but we can know this. God is the God who will provide all that we need. He goes up on the mountain of Moriah, and the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, Abraham, Abraham, here am I, he replied. Do not lay a hand on the boy, he said. Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. Here's the angel of the Lord, and he's speaking as if he is God. Why? Because he is God. Then we read on, and it says this, Abraham looked up, and there in the thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram, sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, the Lord will provide, Yahweh Yireh, Jehovah Jireh. And to this day, it is said, on the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided.
Amen. So good.
What's interesting is the mountains of Moriah are where Jerusalem is. The mountain of Moriah is where Jesus was crucified. It's also where the Temple Mount, it's all of that. It's you know, a large outcropping. But on the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. Verse 15, now watch this. The angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time and said, I swear by myself, declares the Lord. Who's talking? The angel of the Lord. But what is he speaking like? He's speaking like he's God because he is God. I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore. I mean, that's a promise God has made to Abraham repeatedly, and here God is reaffirming it, only this time it's the second person of the Trinity, the Lord Jesus Christ, coming to him as the angel of the Lord. You come to Gideon, or you come to Judges chapter 6 and verse 11. Here's the story of Gideon, and Gideon's hiding because the Midianites are ravaging the land. And the angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak in Ophrah, and that belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a winepress to keep it from the Midianites. And when the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." I mean, this is Jesus appearing to Gideon, and he sees in Gideon what Gideon doesn't see in himself. Oh, isn't that so like Jesus? He sees in every single one of us what we never saw in ourselves, and he's the God that takes things that are not and calls them as though they are. He said to Peter, "Your name's Simon, but I'm going to call you Peter. I'm going to call you a rock." I mean, this is the angel of the Lord. We see him again in 1 Kings chapter 19. He, Elijah, came to a broom tree and he sat down. Remember, he's fleeing from Jezebel, who's wanting to kill him, and prayed that he might die. "I've had enough, Lord," he said. "Take my life. I'm no better than my ancestors." Then he lay down under the tree and he fell asleep, and all at once an angel touched him and said, "Get up and eat." What kind of angel? Look, he looked around and there by his head was a cake of bread baked over hot coals, a jar of water. He ate, drank, then lay down again. The angel of the Lord came back a second time, touched him and said, "Get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you." The angel of the Lord is providing for Elijah as he is fleeing. And even as he's questioning God's care, the angel of the Lord is right there beside him, watching over him, providing for him. That's Jesus. That's what he does. 2 Kings chapter 1 and verse 3, "But the angel of the Lord said to Elijah," this is a little later, "go meet the messengers of the king of Samaria and ask them, is it because there's no God in Israel that you're going off to consult Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron?" And what he does is he gives a prophetic word. The angel of the Lord provides Elijah with a prophetic word. But he's not just the God who serves and the God who cares and the God who protects. He is a warrior God. Don't ever forget that about Jesus. Don't ever think it's just all nice and polite and meek and mild. He is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He is a mighty warrior. And we see even that in the Old Testament in Isaiah chapter 37 and verse 33. "Therefore, this is what the Lord says concerning the king of Assyria." Remember, they've surrounded Jerusalem and Hezekiah is there and he's called out to God. And so here's the word of the Lord. "He will not enter this city or shoot an arrow here. He will not come before it with the shield or build a siege ramp against it. By the way he came, he will return. He will not enter this city, declares the Lord. I'll defend this city and save it for my sake and the sake of David, my servant." Then the angel of the Lord went out and put to death 185,000 men in the Assyrian camp. And when the people got up the next morning, there were all the dead bodies. I mean, Jesus is a warrior. He is mighty. And when he comes back, he will lead the armies of heaven. He is a warrior king. So he's the God who sees, he's the God who provides, he's the God who sees in us things we don't see in ourselves. He's the God who serves a meal to Elijah and gives him a prophetic word later on. He's the fierce warrior guard who struck down 185,000 Assyrian soldiers. He's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. But now let me personalize this and then we'll wrap this up and the musicians can come. And Psalm chapter 34 and verse 7, "The angel of the Lord." Who is that? It's Jesus. The angel of the Lord, the angel of Yahweh, encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. Jesus with you. Jesus watching over you. When Jesus came, the prophet said, you'll call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. There you see it. You're never alone. The angel of the Lord encamps round about you. You never have to be afraid. Jesus is encamping. That means he's dwelling. That means he's living. That means he's surrounding you. He's got you covered. Back to Exodus 23. Remember it said, see, I'm sending an angel ahead of you to guard you along the way and to bring you to the place I prepared. Pay attention to him and listen to what he says. Since my name is in him. My name, the name. Hashem is used by many Jews in place of the divine name Yahweh, because devout Jews will not say the name Yahweh. It's the fearsome name. It's the awesome name. It's the holy name. And so the name substitutes for Yahweh. In Psalm 20, may the Lord answer you when you're in distress. May the name of the God of Jacob protect you. How can a name protect you? Well, trusting in the name means that you're trusting in Yahweh. The name and Yahweh, the name and the Lord are synonymous. They're interchangeable. Look at it in verse 7. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. Trusting in the name is the same as trusting in God. Are you with me on that? In Proverbs chapter 18, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. Trusting in the name is trusting in the Lord, and the name of the Lord and the Lord, they're synonymous. His name is powerful. There's power in the name because he is the name. And then all of this leads us to how we close our services on Sunday. Numbers chapter 6. Then the Lord, that's the name, that's Yahweh, said to Moses, tell Aaron and his sons to bless the people of Israel with this special blessing. May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you his favor and give you his peace. Now watch what Moses says. Moses says, so shall they put my name. This is what God said to Moses. Tell Aaron to say this. And when they do this, so shall they put my name on the people of Israel, and I will bless them. That's it's all tied up. The angel of the Lord and the name of the Lord and the blessing at the end, that there's something, I mean, spiritually significant. I believe this with all of my heart, that when that blessing is said over people, that the Lord puts his name on the people. That the Lord himself comes on you. He comes on this congregation and he blesses you.